إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Afterwards, inshallah, we are going to proceed with our exegesis and the explanations for how to pronounce the words of the glorious Quran, its connotations, knowing the specific moral rulings behind the verses, the interpretational meanings which has influence in the state of its sentences, its formation, and its sequences. If you could recall in our previous discussion, in our previous session, we went to the verse 192 of the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah. Yesterday we had a grammatical analysis to those particular verses. Today we are going to proceed further to the detailed elaborations and commentaries regarding the information contained in the verses. So all the discussion whereupon the concept that was mentioned by the Almighty God in verse 190. The issue of wudu, as how we discussed earlier, that nobody has a right to wudu, a right to fight, unless if a wudu is waged against such individuals or against those communities or those people. The nation has no right towards a war. The only war that is allowed according to the law is for self-defense. And if you want to attack, obviously for your security, then you need to follow the law. You have to know that in accordance with the law, do not breach them. So whatsoever, what's the purpose behind fighting or behind the war? Is it for sustenance, security, development for your future generations, for the sake of your civilization, or for the sake of your faith? All this can be the purpose behind any war, any conflict. Sometimes it happens due to tribalism, as no racial discrimination, racism, despotism, all that. But clearly God mentioned the only way to success is through peaceful processes, through peaceful coexistence, through peacekeeping. That's the only thing that will make you to sustain your life. And how can you make peace? By adhering to the law. But adhering to the law, through that you will be able to make an absolute peace. If everyone is ready to make peace, then by that, everything would be quite okay for the humanity. What can create that? The law, the legality, similar to the exegesis given by Sheikh Abu Bakr Mahmud Yumi in his book of Tafsir, Radd al-Adhan ila Ma'ani al-Qur'an. As he mentioned, but the only way to uplift your belief, to uplift your religion, is by peacekeeping. Is by peacekeeping. That's the only thing. And that's the reason why the Almighty mentioned, "Wal fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl." And Christ is complete, tribulation much more dangerous, more hazardous than even the wolf. So you know how it happened to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions? They were served as examples. With one development, you need to be familiar with all the circumstances, to know how to deal with all the situations. That's why the lives of the prophets and the messengers is filled with lessons to the entire humanity. What happened to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in Mecca was a significant point of view, and how the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with that issue. They lived a condition of persecution, torture, murder, adversity, serious entanglement. They suffered, they experienced. And that's the reason why the Almighty revealing such biases in order to highlight to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and the later generations on how to deal with the same scenarios. Allahumma ista'ala. And also, based on the sin of the Almighty, وَقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثَ يُقْتُلُوهُمْ and fight them wherever you reach to them, at anyone you find, at any way you find them, then you have the right to fight them. You see, the Almighty mentioned, فَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. For Allah, the Almighty mentioned in verse 191, وَقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ and fight them at a place that you find them. Fight them at a place that you find them. In the book Radd al-Azhar ila ma'ani al-Qur'an, the Sheikh mentioned, أي معنى وجدتموه. If you find them, so any people or group of people or communities or societies attack you or wage a war against you, you have the right to retaliate, to fight back. But according to the law, based on the damages that were done to you, this is not indicating that you should wait until a damage is done to you, then you wake up. No. This is not the scenario. But it's just given an example. But because there were other verses, the Almighty mentioned, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ مِرْبَاءٍ خَيْرٍ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَآخَرُونَ لا تعلمونهم الله يعلم. So even if you stand strong, there will be some lapses. It's not every tree that you would be able to tackle. But the better option to get rid of that is for you to pray always. Prepare at any circumstance. So Allah will musta'an. Never wage a war against anyone. Do not fight anybody. But if mistakenly someone or some people wage war against you, then according to the law, you have the right to fight back. Lord Almighty mentioned none of the ayah, none of the verse, وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. If you would maintain patience, then that would be better for those who are patient. If you would persevere with the wrongdoing, God knew about that. He would provide a solution that is much more better than your reaction. But it's not in all the circumstances that you will be able to tolerate a sort of menace or any unpleasant try. So that's the reason why God gave all those protocols. So if it happens, a war was waged against you, have the right to fight back, obviously for your self-defense, and never cross the limit. If you overcome those rulers of the war against you, do not cross the limit. Do not terrorize. As we clarify in the previous sessions. In the Rabt al-Azhar, when the Shaykh mentioned وَقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ فَإِبْتُمُوهُمْ, he said وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. That is the meaning of فَإِبْتُمُوهُمْ. Similar to what we discussed yesterday from the grammatical point of view. وَأَخْرَجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ, and take them away from the point, from the place that they evict you away. They evicted you out of your homes, out of your places. So you have the right, according to the law also, to do similar to what is been done to you, what they have done to you. You have the right also. So if you have the power, so the Shaykh mentioned Ay Makkah. What has done to you in Makkah? You know what Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam experienced and his companions in the city of Mecca. Take the example of Bilal bin Abi Rabah. He was a person that has no freedom at the end. He experienced so many challenges. Take the example of Ammar bin Yasir. Take the example of Khubab bin al-Arad. Sumayya, the wife of Yasir. And Yasir himself, the father of Ammar. Take the example of what was done to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Take the example of what was done to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of humiliation, accusations, God decided, Allahumma tumu nurihi walaw kariha al-kafirun. So most of the companions in the city of Mecca at then were evicted out of their homes, to the extent that majority of them were commanded to migrate, to make hijrah. Top their women were confiscated. Their properties were confiscated. But still at them, God is recommending to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient, to persevere, to approach those matters with good behavior, with good habits, with clemency. That's the only point that will make the peace. I will keep peace at that moment of time. Because at the end, the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam and his companions were outnumbered. They were less in number. Their population is less. They don't have the means. They don't have the capability. The government is not in their hands. They don't have the authority to establish the law. So if they fight at that particular situation, they will definitely lose. It will be a loss upon them. So God knew about. That's the reason why He did not command them to retaliate. But suppose if God has revealed the verses that command the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight by, definitely if the verses were revealed at the time of Mecca, as how the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions are having trust in the revelation, they would definitely apply such rules. But God knows the weaknesses. He knew what they were not aware about. Until after 23 years, a new rule was revealed. وَسِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم بغير حق إلا أن يقولوا ربنا الله. Those that were evicted out of their homes without any reason, without any fact, just because they have some differences. We have differences in their mindset. So the people of Mecca, they decided to fight the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but due to the weakness, God did not command them to fight at that moment of time, to fight back. Even if you are having the power, you have the capability to fight back. But if you have some weaknesses, should be a loss from your side. Even if you have the power, you must fight according to the dictates of law and order. That's the only thing that would make you to be successful in that. So there is need for 360 review of such matters. A read for yesterday, we discussed much on the consequences, the impact of war, the impact of terrorism to the humanity. So going back to a point of discussion from Radd al-Azhar, and he mentioned حيث أخرجوكم مثل أي مكة فقد فعل بهم ذلك عام الفتح. And he mentioned that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done that to them on day of the conquest. You know, later Mecca was conquered. True? No. Because before the arrival of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his forces, he sent a message to them. For any wrongdoer should know that the power is in the hand of God now. Truth prevail. So better if you give us our share. Most of them, they went out of the city of Mecca. But some of them stayed in the city of Mecca to see what would happen. You know the statement of the Sa'd ibn Abbad, when he arrived to the toll gate, Sa'd ibn Mu'az, He said, اليوم يوم الملحمة. And the Rasulullah corrected the statement. He said, اليوم يوم الملحمة. Because some of the companions, that they experienced such challenges, such trials in the city of Mecca, they came back as an authority. They came back with power. So some of them were even willing to find those people that punished them, that persecuted them in the previous years. So when Sa'd bin Mu'adh mentioned, Al-Yawm Yawm Al-Malhama, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Yawm Yawm Al-Malhama, because majority of those that remained in the city of Mecca from the Quraysh, from the Kufar Quraysh, were scared. They were waiting to see what would happen. They heard about the statement of Sa'd bin Mu'az. When the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam came, he said, Al-Yawm Yawm Al-Marhama. Today is a day of mercy. It's a day of mercy. And that's how it is. The messengers are asking to humanity. He didn't come to rectify the problems of humanity, not to add problems to humanity. Likewise, the messengers. That's why I became totally surprised at young age. When I came across one of the verses in the Injil, in the New Testament, from the statement of Jesus alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, I was totally astonished and scared at the same time. Really, we know the messengers are merciful to humanity. But it was said that Jesus made such statement. That is in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34. He said, do not think that I have come to bring peace. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Very early age, I was totally surprised and scared. I developed a doubt. I have never believed that Jesus made such statement. But it was mentioned in the New Testament, in the Injil, Al-Injil. The reason why I'm doubtful in that particular verse is because we knew from the final revelation, from the verses in the previous Quran, God clearly stated that messengers are merciful to humanity. Like the saying of Yahya al-Qurtubi in his Manzuma, in his poem, in his book of poetry, there was a stanza that he said in those stanzas, أرسل رسلا رحمة للناس لينقذوهم من برود الباس. He was mentioning about God. He said, أرسل رسلا رحمة للناس. He sent the messengers as masters to humanity. لينقذوهم من دروب الباسة in order to save the humanity from the dilemma of conflict, from the dilemma of war. So that's the purpose behind sending the messengers to humanity. But the case is that he sent the messengers to guide humans, to save humans from problems. أرسل رسل رحمة للناس لينقذوهم من دروب الباس. That was استنزا from منظومة الأبطال of يحيى الأبطال. So that's what we know about messengers. They are masked to humanity. But I came across a verse in the book of Matthew. This I'm talking about almost more than 22 years back. It was reported that Jesus mentioned, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth, to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." So I was totally scared. And then I was thinking that whoever that is a Christian is a person of me. That's the kind of perception I have during the young age. Because this is among the verses that I got hooked. Then I get to that particular verse, that's one of my thing. And then I was like, is it the reason why I saw some of the countries with a symbol of sword? Mean messengers are people of war? Later on, after intermingling with different colleagues, I have given so many instructions, and I got to understand it's either that particular verse is misrepresented or is not as how Jesus alayhi salam mentioned. For because if the messenger clearly mentioned, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword," then there would be so many discussions. So that's the reason why at the end I had such thoughts. I thought all the Christians are people of womb, for example. But later on, according to the environment I came from, it's a diverse environment. The schools, the teachers I had, the institutions I went to. But still, I have so many questions to clarify. Not to ask someone to clarify the questions, that's how it should be. For example, with the experiences I had, I learned so many lessons. For example, and here, like these verses of Surah Al-Baqarah are talking about the concept of war. That's how you would see the issue of war is prevalent in the religious scriptures. At Torah and Injil, Old Testament, New Testament, the most common reference from the ayah of the Quran, you see that our most common reference are the At-Torah and the Injil. If you go back to At-Torah, you go back to the Old Testament, you go back to the New Testament, you will see the verses are elaborating the issue of war. Not even that. Take any passage. A religion passage. You would see the issue of war in their scriptures. I know of a religion, the symbol, the picture of their God is that the God is holding a bow and arrow. This indicating that even in terms of religious messages, the concept of war is there with them. So war is not a new matter to humanity. And suppose if you refer back to Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy from Old Testament, not even Deuteronomy. If you go back to the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will see so many verses talking about war. So don't be scared. The issue of war is something that is being discussed in all the scriptures. If you go back to the book of Exodus, that chapter 3, verse 3, you would see that it was mentioned clearly that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 3. Suppose if I'm to give tafsir to that particular verse of Exodus, then how to align it with the verse of the book of Matthew? But this is not the point of our discussion. The point of our discussion, Mahalli Shahid, a word is mentioned in the book of Exodus, in that chapter. Likewise, if you refer to book of Psalms, chapter 18, verse 35, a war is mentioned. Also, similarly, in the book of Psalms, the first verse talks about a war. Likewise, if you refer to Corinthians, the verse talks about war. That is 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3. The verse talks about a war. Although that verse of 2 Corinthians is similar to the information contained in verse 190 of Surah Al-Baqarah, but now that's not the main issue. I'm just giving us some examples. Similarly, in the book of Matthew, besides chapter 10, because chapter 10 caused a kind of commotion. You know what I mentioned during my early age when I came across that particular verse in the book of Matthew. I want to mention for you the stories during those ages. You will be surprised. Allahu musta'an. Likewise, in the book of Matthew, beside chapter 10, in chapter 24, verse 6, the verse also talks on the aspect of love. And you would hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed for this must take place. But the end is not yet. That's all. The information in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 6. And likewise, if you reverse back to Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 1 talks about a womb. Likewise, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, from verse 1 to 8, all these verses, verse 1 to 8 of Ecclesiastes, we're discussing on the issue of you. Verse 1 to 8, the book of Ecclesiastes, which was mentioning that for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to give and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to seal, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. These are the information. These are the information. These are the information. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Is that you will memorize in a form of song? Allahu musta'an. For easy? Reflect. For because the more you have a doubt in some verses, the more you have a desire to review for one. Although the information in the Ecclesiastes, to do justice to that particular verse, it is like the statement of Yawmul laka aw yawmun alayk, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Allahu musta'an. Likewise, in the book of Psalms, like chapter 18, verse 29 to 30, most especially if you have English standard version, you see, talks about who. Likewise, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 4, for example, you would see the verse talks about ilmu. But the most surprising one is the verse of the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 30. Allahumma ista'an. So that is, for at least a person should have a foresight in all the scriptures, as I tell you. You would see that a war is being discussed. But because a leader's moves are to guide humanity. Do you get it? Allahumma ista'an. If you have a priest, or you have a pastor as a friend, you need to ask him about chapter 10 of the book of Matthew, verse 33, to clarify that particular verse to you. For we Muslims, we did not believe that Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, makes such statement of saying that, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. So suppose even Isa alayhi salam makes such statement. You are not to hold Christians responsible for that statement. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم. But suppose if they were in another way, for example, a person that claimed to be following a messenger behave in a way that is totally different to what the messenger teaches, what the prophet taught, what the prophet taught to humanity, you shall not judge the prophet or the messenger in accordance to the acts of such follower. Allahumma ista'an. If you compare the ahadith of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the messengers with that particular verse of the book of Matthew, you will never accept that particular verse. Because our messengers are merciful to humanity. And likewise, that was the situation that the Rasulullah experienced in the city of Mecca. But he never recommended his companions, his disciples, to fight back. With due the power they had at that moment of time. But later on, when these verses were revealed to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they can fight back, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded. And that's the reason why even in the Radd al-Azhan, we had that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has moved according to what he was commanded. He did not cross the limit. He was recommended not to fight them in the sanctuary. وقد فعل بهم ذلك عام الفتح. Also, الفتنة أشد من القتل. Still, if you refer to رد الأذهان, the Sheikh mentioned الفتنة بمعنى الشرك. والفتنة الشرك منه. منه والفتنة أشد من القتل. Tribulation is much worse than the world. So he interpreted the verse as الشرك الفتنة بمعنى الشرك. So الشرك the path of the people of Mecca at the end is more worse than even though. So sometimes for your survival, for saving your dignity, your souls, your lives, your values, your faith, you may not have any alternative than to stand and fight in a form of self-defense instead of going back to the situation of jahiliyyah. And that's the reason why Umar ibn al-Khattab once stated, يُشَكُ أَنْ يُنْقَدَ أُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً إِذَا نَشَعَتِ الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ أو مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. So better if the Rasulullah ﷺ and his companions fight back, stand for the war instead of getting transformed back to the condition of shirk. So that's the reason. Allahumma ista'an. So you should make such calculations and estimations in this kind of issues. These are great matters. A war is part of nawazi. A 360 review is required before indulging into red matters. Otherwise, you will regret. For if you follow according to the law, you will never regret. Allahumma ista'an. Allahumma ista'an. These are the points of the exodus. And likewise also, أشد من القتل إن رد الأذهان سيد عاظم. More greater. So tribulation is more greater than the war. Sometimes you may have the desire to avoid the war. For example, like now, if you ask some of the people, why are they fighting? They may enlist to you some of their reasons. They don't want their land to be taken by the bandits, or by the terrorists, or by they are up. The nation that wage a war against them, for example. So every war has a reason. But what matters is the way of reaction. How do you react to it? At any circumstance, never forget. Making peace is that which is better. And that's why even if you go back to verse 190 in the Radd al-Azhar, he mentioned لِأَنَّ هِمْزِ الْعَمَلِ فِي الْأُمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمَةُ إِلَىٰ إِلِّ ذِينِ اللَّهِ. Because maintaining peace, keeping peace, in a peaceful nation is similar to uplifting the God order, uplifting the divine law, uplifting the word of God. As someone would have this kind of reason, that he is fighting or they are fighting the ilahi kalimatillah, to uplift God's order. It is a valid reason, but that is not the way only. But in fact, uplifting the God order, the God's order, is true peace. through these processes. For anything that would take away the peace that humans are living within, that will not be a proper way. So there are so much reasons. A war can happen due to injustice, or while seeking for justice, or while claiming to uplift the God order, or the God's command, or possibly for what you value, your religion, your faith, your race, your ethnic group. All this can be part of the reasons for the emergence of any war situation. So maintaining the peace you have is much more better than getting into a war. This is one of the lessons we can get from these verses, which also in verse 191 from Wadd al-Azhar ila ma'ad al-Qur'an, when he mentioned والفتنة أشد من القتل أي من القتل في الحرم in the sanctuary. مثل أول الحرام الذي استعظمتموه or the sanctuary place that you value, the three common or the sanctuary that you value, in that kind of place you should know that your action matters. Anything that would bring any problem in the place that you value, you should not allow that to happen. So God mentioned حتى يقاتلوكم فيه until if unless if they fight you in that, in the places that you value, your sanctuary, فإن قاتلوكم فيه فقتلوكم. For if they fight you in those places, then you have the right also to fight them. So the Sheikh mentioned in his book of Tafsir وفي قراءة بلا ألف, none of the قراءة, this indicating that even Sheikh knew about the ilm al-qiraء. He said none of the mots of the recitation without ألف, without the مدة. معنى وإن قتلوكم فقتلهم فقتلوهم فإن قاتلوكم فقتلوهم فإن قتلوكم فقتلوهم. There was a قراءة like the قراءة of Imam al-Kisa'i. He recited without the مدة, without the مدة ألف, without the ألف. الشيخ mentioned in رد الأزهار في الأفعال الثلاثة, بمعنى the origin of the verb was from فعل الثلاثي. You know the علم التصريف الصرف, there is فعل الثلاثي and فعل الرباعي, there is فعل الثلاثي المزيد فيه, and there is فعل الثلاثي المزيد فيه, فعل الثلاثي المزيد فيه, and فعل الرباعي المزيد فيه, and there is also فعل الخماسي. So the reason why another mode of qira'ah is followed is because the verb was built from three ways. Because the origin of the word is qatl, qutl. For example, uqtuluhum from uqtul. For example, so it is easy to be processed. The tasawwuf would be so easy for the
أفعال الثلاثة. For example, and that's the reason why Imam al-Kisa'i recited فإن قتلوه, and it is well accepted. In the علم الصرف. And similar rule was also mentioned by Ibn Malik. Whosoever that memorized the Alfiyah to Ibn Malik knew about the rules of the Tasrif, most especially in the Af'al al-Thalatha. Allah al-Musta'an. So كذلك جزاء الكافرين. The Shaykh mentioned رد الأذهان القتل والإخراج, fighting and eviction. This is their recompense. Why? Because they wage a war against a certain community. So if that community is trying to defend itself, they can fight them. They may even evict them. If they evicted them away from their houses. So that's one of the important lessons that we can understand. You need to make a further calculation. Or maybe if the people that you fight, that you initiated a fight or a war against them, if they are to retaliate, they may do more damage than what you done, than what you have done. So you need to have such calculations. Or similar to what you have done to them. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was evicted out of his home. From his disciples, they assassinated, they killed him. And that's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to make the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, where he has the power. If they resist, the Prophet ﷺ has the power to take back the city of Mecca. Allah musta'an. But due to the divine wisdom, there was no any war that took place at Hudaybiyah until after the next day. So better if you negotiate, you make peace, some circumstances. Sometimes it would be triggered, it would be anger. But how before on the matters, before the king, a critical position. Before taking a critical conclusion on the matters, Allahu musta'an. And we reflect back to the history of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his biography. Sometimes the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a chance to follow his own consent or to follow his own opinion or the opinion of his disciples, but he is to tell them that wait until the revelation comes in this matter. Until he went for divine ruling. And whenever the revelation comes, the guideline would be better for the people at that particular moment of time, in that particular matter. So also the Almighty mentioned in verse 192, فَإِنْ إِنْتَهُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. If they avoid the fall, فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. فَإِنْ إِنْتَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. For if they avoid, for God is oft forgiving and oft and all mercy. So in this, we would see that for any war situation, for any conflict, there would be an end. Any war has an end. But one thing is that a war be transformed into a long-term conflict or a long periodic crisis. That's the wisdom behind the saying of the Almighty, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. And likewise also in the saying of the Almighty, فَإِنْ إِنْتَهَوْا. If you reflect to رَدِّ الْأَذْهَانِ, the Shaykh mentioned, أي معنى فَإِنْ إِنْتَهَوْا أَنِ الْكُفْرِ وَأَسْلَمُ. If they stop disregarding the divine law, the divine order, and they surrender, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. فإن الله غفور غفور رحيم. The Sheikh mentioned غفور فإن الله غفور لهم رحيم بهم. فإن الله غفور لهم رحيم بهم. For God is oft forgiven to them and merciful for them. فإن الله غفور لهم رحيم بهم. For God is oft forgiven to them and merciful for them. This one of the eloquency of the Shaykh in that exegesis of the verses. Allahumma musta'an. So the final reflection is the saying of the Almighty, wal fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl. Yesterday we mentioned that it is unconditional statement. It's another topic on its own. So many scholars of exegesis, they interpret wal-fitna similar to the interpretation in Radd al-Adhan. Al-fitna bi-ma'na al-shirk, al-shirk minhum. Likewise, Imam al-Tabari. You know, Imam al-Tabari. In his book of Tafsir, he gave similar interpretation to the meaning of al-fitna. So much riwayat, narrations from Abi Ja'far al-Tabari. If you refer back to his book of Tafsir, his popular book of Tafsir, Jami' al-Bayan fi ta'wil al-Qur'an. Jami' al-Bayan fi ta'wil al-Qur'an. That is the book of Muhammad bin Jarir, bin Yazid bin Kathir, bin Ghalib, al-Amali Abu Ja'far al-Tabari. In his book of Tafsir, Jami' al-Bayan fi ta'wil al-Qur'an. Jami' al-Bayan fi ta'wil al-Qur'an. He gave similar interpretation that al-fitna bi-ma'na al-shirk. So much narration. Better if we give the reference with the isnad. Allahumma musta'an. Tabari yuqal. Haddathani al-musanna. Qala haddathana Ishaq qal. حدثنا أبو زهير عن جويبه عن الدحاك والفتنة أشد من القتل قال الشرك طبري قال حدثنا القاسم قال حدثنا الحسين قال حدثني حجاج قال قال ابن جريج أخبرني عبد الله بن كثير المجاهد في قوله والفتنة أشد من القتل قال الفتنة الشرك طبري قال حدثت عن الحسين بن الفرج قال سمعت الفضل بن خالد قال حدثنا عبيد بن سليمان عن الضحاك والفتنة أشد من القتل قال الشرك أشد من القتل طبري قال حدثني يونس قال أخبرنا ابن وهب قال قال ابن زيد في قوله جل ذكره والفتنة أشد من القتل قال فتنة الكفر قال الفتنة قال فتنة الكفر الله المستعان So, so many interpretations with that meaning of Al-Fitna. Majority of the scholars of Tafsir, they went on the same that Al-Fitna bima'ana As-Shirk. Unless Ibn Zayd, the teacher of Ibn Wahab, he said that Al-Fitna al-ma'ana Al-Kufr. So Al-Kufr and Al-Shirk synonymous, Allah Ta'ala. Better if you give your time for the Isnad. لأن الإسناد من الدين. For example, like the saying of Imam Shafi'i, كل علم سوى القرآن مشغلة إلا الحديث وعلم الفقه في الدين فالعلم هو ما قد كان فيه حدثنا وما سوى ذاك وسواس الشياطين وما سوى ذاك وسوسة الشياطين That's the poetry of Imam Shafi'i In terms of knowledge, it's not very important. Reference is very important. Said, وَالْعِلْمُ هُوَ مَا قَدْ كَانَ فِيهِ حَدَّثَنَا Knowledge is that which contains a reference. Like the examples I gave to you related to the interpretation. So we have the isnad not only from the hadith, but rather even from the tafsir. Allah musta'an. So isnad is very important. Reference is very important. Allah musta'an. And the most strong reference is that which came in a form of isnad. So I have so many isnad of Abi Ja'far al-Tabari regarding the interpretation of this segment of the ayah. Or which is to Ashad Minan The point of the discussion is that the lesson behind that unconditional sentence for Krishna to Ashad Minal Qatil, the tribulation is much more greater than the war itself. So it is indicating that the conflict is a different kind of discussion that can be related to war. We should know how to tackle both the two. We should know how to tackle a war and a conflict. These are the lessons that we can take from these verses. Allah musta'an. So likewise also, the same interpretation was given by Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Din al-Sa'idi. Abdurrahman ibn Nasir ibn Abdullah al-Sa'idi in his book of Tafsir, Tafsir al-Kareem al-Rahman, في تفسير الكلام المنان. When he was mentioning about that particular segment, what he said to Ashad bin Minal Uqat, this point was 190, was 191 and 92, when Musa'idi gave the exegesis in a brief way. But in that segment, when he said to Ashad bin Minal Uqat, he went also with the explanation of majority of the scholars of Tafsir, that it is Ash-Shibti, of which he mentioned regarding the meaning of Al-Fitna. There was a statement that he mentioned that أَخْبَرَ تَعَالَىٰ أَنَّ الْمُبْصِرَةُ بِالْفِتْنَةِ عِنْدَهُ بِالشِّرْكِ وَالصَّدُّ عَنْ دِينِهِ أَشَدُّ مِنْ مُبْصِرَةِ الْقَتْلِ. That's one of the sentences that he mentioned regarding the commentary to that particular sentence, or between the two, Ashaddu min al-qalb. He also considered shirk to be the al-fitna. And that's the reason why you would see most of the righteous predecessors were warning against bid'ah, because the most easiest route towards ash-shirk is the bid'ah. That's why one of the righteous predecessors and also one among the ulama of exegesis, he aligned ash-shirk and al-bid'ah. Similarly, amongst the greatest scholars of this time, he only mentioned that إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْمُبْتَدِعَ فَهْرُبْ مِنْهُمْ لِكَيْ لَا يَجْرُوكَ إِلَى زُبَالَاتِ أَفْكَارِهِ. Allah المستعان. So, the most easiest way to shirk is al-bid'ah. And al-bid'ah, as it links to ash-shirk, then definitely it is linking you towards the fitna. And the frequency of the fitna is much more greater than the frequency of you. The danger of al-fitna is much than the danger of al-qatlu. Allah المستعان. It's a different subject of discussion. We don't have much time to reflect back to history, to reflect back to the incidences of Hudaybiyah and that of Fatih Makkah. If you refer back to Sir Alam al-Nubala, Tawaqat of Ibn Sa'd, in al-bidaya wa al-nihaya, you would have much details, elaborations, historical citations regarding those incidences. So inshallah we are going to have a full stop here and we will proceed further tomorrow from the point highlight in this particular verses. We would go deeper into those historical incidences. Whatsoever we discuss within this few minutes, we ask the Almighty to reward us in it. Whatsoever that interfere of any freaking statement, we ask the Almighty to رزق من أوديس وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. لا 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 لا